us this morning.
Good morning, Jess.
Now, what are some of the effects of working long hours that studies have found?
So working more than 10 plus hours a day for a minimum of 50 days a year, which is actually not that much, can lead to poorer mental health outcomes, depression, anxiety, interruption to our sleep patterns, increased risk of stroke, as you said, and it also has effects on our social life and our relationships outside of work as well.
Gosh, so this is pretty serious, the real effects that this is having on people.
Absolutely. And as well, people are more likely to smoke, drink to excess and gain weight if they're working long hours on a regular basis.
Oh my gosh. What factors do you think are contributing to people working more hours?
I think there's a few things. Obviously, we're hearing a narrative a lot about the automation in the workforce, and people are quite uncertain about what that's going to mean for them and their job. We've seen slow wage growth and increasing underemployment where people are perhaps not getting the hours that they want. And so in 2018, Australians worked around 3.2 billion hours in unpaid overtime.
Oh my gosh, that's a huge number.
It's a huge number, absolutely.
Now, tell us a little bit about decision latitude and how it can contribute to employee health problems.
So these effects that we see are actually worse when people have low levels of what's known as decision latitude or autonomy in their job, which is basically just the ability that you have to have input into things like, can you take decisions? Can you make choices about how you're working, perhaps where you're working, and when you're working? And so for people who are either underemployed, so they don't have enough hours, or for those who are working, you know, obviously long hours, those effects are the same, that they have less satisfaction with their job, with their performance, and also with their general life and relationships.
Now, there you mentioned about choosing how and where you can work. Most employees are attracted when employers say that they can offer like a working from home option or flexible hours. Do you think that this helps or hinders mental health of employees?
Oh, I think workplace flexibility is extremely important, and we're seeing that increasingly. People are having to spend long hours commuting. Obviously, that doesn't help either. So on top of your 10-hour day, you might be spending an hour or two on the train or in the car. And so people are increasingly stressed and exhausted. So having those options and that flexibility to not only perhaps avoid, you know, peak hour, but also to, you know, have parenting responsibilities or other responsibilities outside of work is a really important thing for employees.
Absolutely. What are some other things you think employers can do to help keep their employees happy and healthy?
I think having policies that actually stipulate flexible work are really important, but then making sure that they're in place. So Japan has an enormous problem with overwork. They actually have a term called karoshi, where people just die from overwork, which is awful. So they implemented a policy where people should go home at 3 o'clock on Friday, but only 3% of employees took that up. And so in Australia, we can see similar effects, obviously not to that extreme, but having the policy in place is important, but employers need to make sure that people aren't continuing to work long hours, that perhaps they're not able to do their work in normal hours because they're in lots of meetings all the time. So really kind of monitoring what's going on with employees, communicating effectively, you know, and finding out what is happening for people. And also the design of the workplace can have a big effect on wellness as well.
Well, Libby, I'm sure you've got given a lot of people something to think about over the weekend, and hopefully some changes will be made in some offices across Sydney on Monday morning. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Jess.